You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Thank you for all that you do. It's in Jesus' matchless name we pray. Amen. I greet you in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To the preachers, deacons, members, and friends, we greet you in that name that which is above all names, and that is the name of Jesus the Christ. Stand before you. I want to bring this message to you this morning. I know last week's lesson went a little long. What I endeavored to do is to break these lessons down, these sermons down. And this sermon today is sandwiched in between another sermon that I hope to bring to you. But I thought it was important that we deal with this. So we're going to come from the same book of the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter. We begin our reading at verse number 21. And it reads, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one to another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. And Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. And then lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. And then saith Jesus unto him, Thou doest do it quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spoke this unto them. For some of them thought because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. And he then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. And from these few verses, I would like to pin for a title of this message, The Unmasking of Judas. The unmasking of Judas. Judas Iscariot is perhaps one of the most enigmatic and mysterious people in the Bible. There are very few words that are written in our Holy Writ that have been spoken by Judas Iscariot. But Judas Iscariot was one that was chosen by Jesus himself. Many people don't know that. But Jesus chose Judas Iscariot to be one of his disciples. And there was a very important reason why Judas Iscariot was chosen. Judas Iscariot had a task that had been prophesied in the Old Testament, that there would be one that would betray Jesus during his earthly ministry. But keep in mind, Jesus still chose him. And Jesus knew what he was doing when he chose him. For in the sixth chapter of John, it says, Jesus says, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning whom they were that believed not, and who should betray him. So Jesus picked Judas for a purpose. That Judas had a purpose in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And yes, it had been prophesied that he would. In Psalms 41 and 9, it says that he said, yea, my own familiar friend in whom I have trusted, which did eat my bread, have lifted up his heel against me. This is an Old Testament prophecy that told the story of Jesus, of Judas's betrayal of the risen of the king that would come, which was Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. Anytime he talks about lifting up one's heel, it is an act of betrayal. And so Judas has a very important job, although we really don't look at it in that manner. Understand this, that even though God has allowed this to come into the life of Jesus Christ, God was still going to work this for his good. And what we need to understand about the life of Judas and Jesus and their relationship is that God was still in control of the circumstance and the situation. So what does that tell us? That no matter what you're going through in this life, no matter how many folk talk about you and stab you in the back, God is still in control of it and can work it out for your good. He can work it out for your good. You don't need to take a sword like Peter did and cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. You don't need to do that. Because God is still in control. And he's working it out for our good. So here it is, Judas, who was picked by Jesus and had fooled then all of the rest of the disciples. Nowhere in the text do you find that the disciples knew that Judas was up to what he was up to. And even though Jesus knew, Jesus did not reveal it until it was time for him to reveal it. In other words, he let Judas congregate with the other 11, and he blessed them just like he blessed the other 11. Judas was there when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He was right there. Judas was right there when he fed 5,000 with two fish and barley loaves of bread. He was right there. Listen here, every time Jesus blessed the 11, he blessed Judas right along with him. And he trusted Judas, even to carry the money bag. And understand this, that there's some problems with Judas. One of the biggest problems with Judas was that Judas was greedy. Judas was selfish, but he had a way of covering it up. You remember when the woman wanted to put perfume on Jesus' feet. And it was Judas that stood up and said, why are you wasting this money? We could sell this perfume and do what? Give it to the poor. Judas wasn't interested about doing anything for the poor. Judas' interest was to take the money, to steal the money. Judas was a bad fella. Here in Judas, you see the blackness of sin, but it is veiled. It has become masked by his hypocrisy. And understand this, that all of us came into this building with at least one mask on. But the truth be told, most of us came in with two masks on. I could see this mask. But the other mask we can't see. Only God can see that mask. And understand that there is a spirit of Judas that is still alive and permanent in the church today. But God has come to unmask the Judases. Come to unmask the Judases in this nation. And we've seen that, right? We've seen how political strategists have come and have unmasked the true identity of this nation. Yet this nation want to pride itself on being a God-fearing nation. But at the same time, it suppresses and oppresses a certain group of people. You've been unmasked. And yes, even though there are some that are even in the evangelical church that hold prejudice and bigoted positions and thoughts, been unmasked, they've been uncovered. It can clearly be seen. Why? Because the spirit of Judas is still alive. It is not only a spirit of betrayal, but it's also a spirit of hypocrisy. It's a spirit of playing the hypocrite. It's a spirit of saying one thing and really meaning another. It's a spirit of saying one thing and actually doing something else. It's not justice for all. It's justice for those who have money. Spirit of Judas is prevalent. And we see it. Why? Because God has unmasked it. He's taken the mask off. And Jesus alludes to this. Last week we talked about how Jesus had washed the disciples' feet. Well, understand that he didn't skip over Judas. He washed Judas's feet as well. When Jesus said that I will love you to the end, Judas was included in that. And he told him, he said, listen, this is the reason why I'm doing it, that I might set an example for you. He said, all of you are clean except for what? One. So in other words, Jesus being able to see the heart of the other 11 and realize that they had professed him as being the Messiah. But Judas never did. As a matter of fact, if you look at how the other ones referred to Jesus, they referred to him as Lord. Judas never referred to him as being his Lord. He called him by his name, Rabbi, the title Rabbi or teacher. Judas had distinguished himself from the rest of them. Maybe it was perhaps for the region in which he came from. For Judas Iscariot, Iscariot being his surname, which means that he came from the town of Kerethoth, which is in the southern region of Judea. He is the only disciple that did not come from the region of Galilee. So even beforehand, Judas was an outcast. There's some benefit of being raised around the folk in which you're dealing with. You know the environment, you know the culture. Judas didn't. Judas didn't understand. And so here Jesus is giving them this object lesson in which he includes Judas in. But then Jesus gets up and he puts down his towel. And he robes himself in his garment and begins to recline at the table where he will have the Last Supper with his disciples. Judas is still there. He's still an invited guest. But here in our text it says that when Jesus had thus said this, he was troubled in his spirit. Now understand, you're talking about troubled. This word in the Greek, troubled, means to be upset or agitated. Jesus had become agitated. And he became agitated for a reason in which he will explain to them. But understand that Jesus is human just like we are. And he can feel our every pain. Jesus knows what it means to be upset. You remember when he went into the temple and the money changers were in there selling and buying and so on and so forth. And Jesus was upset. He got angry and he tipped over the money changers. So Jesus understands. He had become upset just with the mere fact that Judas, the one he had loved, the one that he had poured himself into, at least attempted to pour himself into, would now be the one that would betray him. His spirit had become vexed. And he testified. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Understand that one of the greatest sins that you can commit against anybody is the sin of betrayal. If you look at the story of Hosea and Gomer, God told Hosea, he said, go down to the harlot's house and get you a bride. And Hosea went down and he married a woman named Gomer who was a prostitute or a harlot. And every time that the things would get going good, Gomer would slip out the back door and go out and cheat on Hosea. And Hosea would go and get her and bring her back home, only for her to go back out and come back in. And what this was, this was a picture of Israel, the nation of Israel, and how they had committed adultery on the Lord Jesus Christ, on God himself. It was an act of betrayal. One that brought a lot of hardship. Because even today, to be betrayed cuts us to the core. Understand that there's some folk that really never recover from it. They've been scarred. They've been hurt. But understand that Jesus can heal your every hurt. No matter what you've been hurt by, no matter who hurt you, Jesus can still heal your hurt. All of us have at one point or another been betrayed by somebody. There have been some folk that we put our trust in. There are some people that you've done more for than you've done anything for anybody else. And have walked out on you, have abandoned you, have forsaken you. We've all been there. We've all been there. We've been the victim of Judas. But then there are some of us that have been Judas. There are some of us that have been in this situation. And understand this, that there's still healing even for that. Judas is a one-time person. There will never be another Judas. But his spirit still remains. It's still reflective. So Jesus said that one of you will betray me. I can imagine the silence that comes over the place. The shock. But Jesus, this is not new. Jesus had told them this before. He told them, he said, there's a devil amongst you. There's a devil in the group. Because Jesus knew who would betray him. And so Peter motioned to John, who no doubt was on Jesus' right side. And understand that Judas was on his left side. It's important because we need to understand and see how Jesus deals with Judas. Jesus gives Judas a position of honor. And so Peter motions to John, John being the youngest. John was the baby boy. As a matter of fact, John describes himself as that disciple that Jesus loved. And you know how it is. When we were younger, you would always send the youngest in to ask mama for something. Because you knew that she'd have a little mercy on the youngest one. You know, if you went and asked her, you might get knocked upside the head. But you would send the youngest to ask. That's what Peter does. He sends John. He motions to John, ask Jesus whom he's speaking about. And so John turns to Jesus and said, Lord, who are you speaking about? Here comes the unmasking. He said, the one that I take, the morsel, and sop it and give it to him is the one who will betray me. Once again, Jesus is honoring Judas, his betrayer, because according to custom, The first morsel of food always went to the honored guest. And so Jesus takes this morsel. He dips it in the sop. And he turns and he hands it to Judas. This was silence. A silence goes over the place. I can only imagine Judas looking Jesus in his eye as he receives the morsel. It's the last time that he would look in the eyes of Judas, because it says that as soon as he took the sop, Satan entered into him. You're not finding this anywhere in Scripture where Satan really embodied and went into someone. Now Judas is looking at everything through the lens and the eyes of Satan himself. This is not an imp. This is not a demon. This is Satan himself. This issue has become so important to the devil. He said, I'm not going to trust it to the demons. I'll handle this one myself. And so he enters in to Judas. And Jesus has this one remark to him. He said, that which you do it quickly. In other words, Jesus is still in charge. Even after Satan has entered in him, he's still telling Judas, whatever you're going to do, go ahead and do it quickly. Don't sell no wolf tickets. Don't tell me what you're going to do. Get up and do it quickly. And so Jesus dismisses Judas and the devil. And it says that Judas gets up and he leaves. What a sad situation. Because understand that this is the last day that Judas will see daylight. It said that it was night or evening or night when he left. But understand, it was more than just the natural darkness. Judas finds himself in a spiritual darkness. He finds himself in a place that no human has ever found them placed before. And he would end up cast out into outer darkness. Judas will never see light again because of what he did, because of what he became. So the question is asked all the time, did Judas have a choice? By all means, he had a choice. Judas could have chosen not to do it. Understand that the prophecy concerning Judas never mentioned his name. It said that one of his friends would do it. He had a choice, and Judas chose to allow Satan to enter him. It's a conscious choice. James puts it this way. He says that when we're drawn away by our own lust, by our own sin. So we cannot blame it on God. We cannot blame God for what Judas did. And just because God knew that he would do it did not mean that God made him do it. Much in the same way, you have a choice to make. How far will you follow God? How much will you commit yourself to God? Or are we wearing a mask? Are we veiling the truth about who we really are? But understand this, that what is done in the dark soon shall come to the light. Doesn't matter. God will unveil it. And that's why it behooves you to be who you are. And my prayer to you that who you are is who God wants you to be. All of us have a choice to submit ourselves to the authority and the power of God, the Holy Ghost. Judas didn't have this. Judas neglected it. So therefore, he goes down in history with one of the worst names that you could ever name anyone. And although there were many Judas, Judas was a common name. Actually, it means Judah, and it means to praise. Whomever named Judas did not get it right, because he didn't praise anybody but himself. So Judas finds himself selling out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. That's the cost it would cost you if you wanted to buy a slave in that day. He sold him out. But understand that it would come back on him. He went to the high priest, said, "I'll show you where he is." And they agreed to give him the 30 pieces of silver, and Judas took it. In the meantime, Jesus gets his disciples and go out to the Mount of Olives. And he tells them to wait here while I go away and I pray. Jesus, understand the disposition that he was in, that he was going to die a death that a common criminal would die. He goes to pray. He said, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thine will be done." And Jesus prayed this prayer three times. Three times he prayed it. Came back to the disciples who had fell asleep on Jesus. He told them to sleep on. But they were quickly awakened by the clatter of staves and clubs, the footsteps of men. Hundreds of men had came out against Jesus. This one that had been teaching them in the temple, they could have arrested him then. But now they come under the veil in the darkness of night to arrest Jesus. So Judas tells them, "The one in whom I kiss, he's the one." Can you imagine that? Being betrayed with a kiss. But understand the significance of this. Because kissing was a part of the culture. But there was an order to kissing. A slave would kiss the feet of his masters. A subordinate would kiss the hand of his master. But an equal would kiss the cheek of the person which he was greeting. So here it is, Satan showing up in all of his pride and had the nerve to kiss Jesus on the cheek. But once again, Jesus honors him. And he said, "Friend, what have you come for?" Wait a minute, he's calling Judas friend? This word is a comrade. It's a friend. So what does that tell us? If Jesus can honor the man that was most responsible for his death upon the cross, then who are we when it comes to people who have offended us? That's a lesson here. You must understand and see how Jesus treated Judas. Judas's fate had been sealed already. But the object for us is that you don't mistreat people because they're not like you are. You love the person. You hate the sin, but you love the person. And if you love the person, then you ought to act like you love the person. Treated Jesus, Judas, with honor by calling him friend. And so they arrest Jesus. And immediately, remorse overtook Judas. And he goes back to the chief priests, as Zechariah tells us, to return the 30 pieces of silver. Zechariah prophesied and says, and it said, and I said unto him, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my piece 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potters, a good price, that I was prized as of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. And that's exactly what Judas did. They would not receive it back. But Judas took it and cast it. And they in turn took that 30 pieces of silver and bought a plot for Judas. And Judas went off, instead of repenting, he went off and hung himself. And understand, he didn't do a good job of doing that either, right? Because in Acts 1, it says that he fell headlong and burst out. His guts were burst out. So either the branch broke or the rope broke. Something broke. But he died a terrible death that would be met with an even worse eternity. Judas's fate was sealed. He was in the hottest parts of hell. But it did not stop Jesus. Emotionally, Jesus may have been messed up by this. It said that he was troubled by it. But he did not let that stop him. He kept pressing forward, even though they came and they lied on him. They lied about him. He never even tried to defend himself. He said, thou sayest that I am a king to Pilate. And yes, he was a king, the king of kings. But he stripped himself of his glory, took on the form of a servant, and humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. He gave himself for us. He sacrificed himself for our benefit. Because they took him. Put a robe on him. Put a cross on his shoulder. And there he is going up the road to Golgotha, the Via Dolorosa. Can't you see Jesus? Going all the way, never missing a step. I can just imagine that every step he had us in mind. He said, I'm not going to let it stop me. Even though my disciples have forsaken me and they're nowhere to be found, I'll continue to go to the cross. Kept on going, and they nailed him to that cross, nailed him in his hands, nailed him in his feet, hung him between two thieves. He died, I tell you, on Calvary's cross, buried in the tomb, but rose on the third day with all power of heaven and earth in his hands. He died for our sins. Because he died, I can live. I'll live for eternity because of what Jesus did for me. And how he's going to come back for me one day. Yes, he's sitting at the right hand throne of God, making intercession for me, telling God all about it. Tell him how he died for my sins, how he paid for all of my indiscretions. He did it for me. He did it for you. Gave himself. He suffered, I tell you, he suffered mightily. But it was all worth it. He deemed us worthy of it. That he would die for us. And so that we are eternally grateful. He's coming back again. I'm looking for him to come back again. I'm looking for him to set up his kingdom. I'm looking to rule and to reign with Jesus Christ. Because I've suffered with him. And I'll continue to suffer with him. If we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. And that's what he did for us. And so we celebrate Jesus. We thank him for unmasking Judas. We thank him for unmasking the betrayer. And God is doing the same thing in the church today. He's unmasking some things. He's unmasking some people. And understand this, that when people show you who they really are, believe them. His house shall be. Believe them. You stand to your feet. The door to the church is open.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.